Good morning. I think we should have t-shirts made up that says, like, I survived the polar vortex of 2019. Because we are hardy. It's only a 100-degree swing from today to last Wednesday. I have one more announcement to add. Whoever has my movie, The Count of Monte Cristo, would you please return it? We don't remember who we borrowed it to. We wanted to watch it the last week. Okay. I'll expect that return soon. We want to watch that. Try to get you out of here. We got a lot of commercials to watch in about 6 hours. Well, welcome to the river. My name is Paul. I've been asked to speak by a pastor. If you don't know me, I'm an emotional preacher. I'm not a scholarly orator. So I try to keep up. I sometimes will bounce all over. But I want you to know my focus today is about hope. And not losing hope. No matter what the situation looks like, no matter how cold it gets, no matter what your checkbook looks like, no matter what your heart's telling you, no matter what the devil's telling you, don't lose hope. No matter how impossible the situation looks, don't lose hope. You can lose hope in the outcome. You can lose hope in every situation, but don't lose hope in Jesus. Put your hope in Jesus. Now, if you can keep that in your mind this whole message, I will have succeeded in getting across my point to you. Don't lose hope. Jesus is coming. Jesus is there. Jesus is working on it, whether you see it in this life or in eternity. He will have the last word over every situation in your life. So the title of my message is The God Does the Impossible. It should say, put your hope in the God that does the impossible. Okay? So I'm going to dive right in there. I'm going to read from Matthew 14. Where did I put my glasses? If you see them, maybe they're next to my movie. They were in. They're a little packet. Anyway, I can't find my readers. Are they there, Cece? Okay. I'll be reading from the screen then. Matthew 14. So let me just preface this by saying Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000, and they were done with that miracle. So immediately, chapter 14, verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. I'm just going to stop there. That word buffeted, okay, that's buffeted, not buffeted. I know the buffet. So let's place ourselves there. There's these guys, these fishermen that are, they know the water. Hey, these are mine. Thanks, Bruce. Perfect. So these guys are experienced fishermen. They're accustomed to the water. They know the water. They know the lake. They know the boat. And yet, they were buffeted. They were, and the word buffeted, I got the definition of that. It's not a place where you eat as much as you possibly can. It says to buffet, especially of wind or waves striking repeatedly and violently, battering the rough seas knocking off course. So here are these guys. And logic in their mind says, well, Jesus, who's always been with them, he's there. He's on the land. How are we going to get through this? By their knowledge, their wisdom, by their logic, by their experience, they were in a situation that looks like it has no hope, and they're being sent off course. Now, has anyone ever felt like that? Is anyone going maybe through that now? I'm not talking your small things, your small situations. I'm talking the big issues. The ones that you maybe have been waiting on an answer for a long time, or the ones that the situation that looks hopeless. But you feel like these men, they were obeying Jesus. Get in the boat and go. And bam, a storm. I'm obeying Jesus. I'm following after him. I'm reading his word. I'm involved. I love God. I've changed my life. I've given my life to Christ. Bam, a storm. That's not supposed to happen, right? Where is that in the scriptures? But that happens a lot in our lives because we live in a fallen place. But our hope is in Jesus. And believe me, good news is coming. Amen? Amen? Now, when I see scripture, I look at the wind. When I see the word wind in scripture, symbolically that is a word that symbolizes spiritual things. You can't see it. It's Jesus said in John that you don't see the wind, you see the effects of the wind. He talked about the Holy Spirit as a wind. We see God's presence and power as a wind. It's a spiritual thing, and the waves are actually physical things. You are beaten by the wind and the waves. And if you let the spiritual thoughts in your life just pound you, I'm not, like these guys on this boat. How are we going to get out of this? My thoughts, my limitations, I don't know what to do, even though I've been here 1,000 times. Maybe it's thoughts in your life that you're not good enough, you have no value. That's mine. My scheme of wind, so to speak, is I'm worthless. I don't have value. You don't have this. You don't have that. And I push that away to the best of my ability. And I just want to say that if your thoughts are negative and the enemy and the devil is telling you you're not this, you don't have what it takes. Look, God isn't involved. God doesn't see you. He's on land. I want to tell you that's a lie from the pit of hell. And you are right where God sees you. I love the worship song. God sees you. God is always with you. He is with you even when you don't see him. And the waves are the actual physical things that can deter us and knock us off course and stumble and our challenges and our limitations as our finances, or whatever it might be in your life that is actually has some substance. And you can say, yes, I'm obeying, but yes, that's falling through. You know, so there's just a, we have to put, if you can put yourself in that place that anytime you're in that impossible situation, to put your hope in Jesus. But it's just relenting. It's just repeating. It just doesn't let up. Just like in Job. I want to read. It's not on there. It's not up there. I'm really quick. Turn to Job. I'll throw those down on the floor. In Job 1, it talks about, so a messenger came to Job and said, the men were plowing and these donkeys were grazing nearby the storms and they attacked and they carried them off and they put the servants to the sword. And I'm the only one here to tell you because I escaped. And it says, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and delivered bad news. And then
Verse 17, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and told them more camels and livestock had died. While he was still speaking, yet another one came and delivered the news that your children have been killed in a storm that destroyed the house. It's like before we can even finish our thought, another thing repeatedly buffets us. And don't be knocked off course. They were knocked off course. They were heading to one spot and they slowly got knocked off course. Can you put Hebrews 10:23 up there, please? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Unswervingly. The song talked about he is our anchor. He is the one. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus and I am going to hold unswervingly to the hope in him. Not in my outcome. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe he'll rescue us in this boat, maybe he won't. It's in him. No matter where I think he is, I can know that he is right here with me now, even though my eyes don't see it. So let us hold unswervingly. Don't be knocked off course. Let's look at verse 25, Matthew 14, verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them. My Bible says on the fourth watch. Shortly before dawn. What's the expression? When is it darkest? Before the dawn. Just before dawn, where it's the darkest, where it's been the longest part of the night, where it's just like you are at the end of your rope, and Jesus starts moving. Then Jesus says, I'm going out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. He didn't say, everything's going to be okay, guys. Everything's going to turn out the way you want it to. He said, nope, it's me. Focus on me. Look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Don't look at the wind and the waves. Don't look at that stuff. Don't be distracted. Jesus is coming when it's darkest. Dawn overcomes the darkness. Don't lose hope and don't lose fear. Verse of the year is love the Lord your God with all your what? Your mind, heart, and your soul. And I think that we can love God with our mind and our heart when no matter what the situation looks like, we can keep hope. I'm hoping in Jesus. That's my mind and my heart. Doesn't matter what situation looks like. Doesn't matter how much the wind is coming after me. Don't lose hope. And I think that we can love God by honoring him in those tough times. We honor him with our heart and our mind when we hope against all hope. We hope against all odds. When we trust that he is in control, when we see that he is the one that is the one that loves us and will be with us through our struggles. Like the video said, through the struggles and the victories, he's there. Man, the worship songs this morning and the video and Kevin's message, you could have just stopped and said, goodbye, have a good day. It was just right spot on. And how it's all speaking of the same thing about don't lose hope. 5 days ago, 4 days ago, whatever it was. Spring's coming. Spring is coming. No law of physics is beyond overcoming for Jesus. Nothing. The word impossible is not in his vocab. It's in ours. We are very limited. We fail. we can only see right now. He sees it all. He has power over all of it. And he walked on the water. And if you look at Ephesians, put up Ephesians 1:22. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. That water stayed beneath his feet because he is authority over it all. It obeyed him. It was beneath his feet. That is something to be impressed by. The water obeyed his authority, and it wasn't going to swamp the boat because Jesus had a plan to get to you, get to them. He's going to get to you. So we can safely place our hope in Jesus. He never fails. So I'm going to read today. Can we go back to Matthew 28, 29, 30, please? Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come out on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to back up. A lot of times I've heard this message preached on, just talking about Peter getting down out of the boat and then faltering in his faith. But I want to focus on Peter let his eyes see the wind. And like Pastor Steve spoke about a few weeks ago, he was like, we can get into that place of where we let the situation run in our mind and we can worry and it'll just take off. You give your thoughts, your negative thoughts an inch and they just take off. And all of a sudden, you're destitute with no hope, no, just in your thought life. You have nothing and just in your thought life, and it's, you know, your boss looked at you funny, oh, I must be getting fired, I'll be unemployed, I'll have this, we'll have nothing, we'll live in a box. And it's just like, no, he was just looking at you because you had a little schmutz on your face. And Peter let the wind affect what was going on. He was walking on the water, man. He was doing it. I'm focused on Jesus. Look what I can do. If I'm focused on Jesus, look what I can do. I can just do the whole Indiana Jones. I'm not going to, right off here, do the old tea kettle. But Peter was doing it. He's walking it. And he let that. So I just want to tell you, and I'm telling myself, don't look and get focused on the things that aren't there. Because you can't see the wind. Maybe in a wind tunnel they put the powder in, you can see what the wind does, but you cannot see the wind physically. See that? No. You didn't. Because you can't. No, I'm making wind, Ray. I'm making wind here. And we as humans that are so limited can get focused on the stuff we can't control or do or have no power over, and we can let that have power over us. And that's not what Jesus said. He's like, you are going to trample on stuff. You're going to walk with serpents and drink poison, and nothing's going to harm you because I'm with you. So don't let something that has no power, no physical, no nothing, have power over you. Rebuke that in Jesus' name. Situation looks impossible, Paul. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. Jesus is who I put my hope in. Looks impossible. Hill's too steep. Pit's too deep. Jesus. My hope's in him. I don't know how it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. The way I'd like it to happen doesn't matter. Hope's in Jesus. Didn't go according to plan? Hope's in Jesus. Oh. So, what did he do? Peter cried out. Peter cried out. He knew who to cry out to. Who do you cry out to? You cry out to Jesus. You cry out to God. And he is immediately We don't always see the response, but I believe it's immediate, whether it's now, it's here, or it's immediate in heaven, or it's going to be immediate in eternity, or the answer might be no, or the answer might be not now, but it's immediate. He is not slow, and his arm is not too short to reach and grab you. Okay? And they sat down together. And when they climbed in the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him. That's the right response, by the way. Truly, you are the Son of God. And when they climbed in the boat, Jesus and Peter, not put you back in the boat and you go on ahead, Jesus joined them. And when we are in the presence of Jesus and we keep him the forefront of our lives and Peter is looking at Jesus in the boat, the wind dies down. Doesn't go away. It just doesn't look as big and menacing and powerful. It dies down. He doesn't say everything was calm and smooth and perfect. It just dies down. When our focus is on Jesus, when our focus is on the Creator, the Alpha, the Almighty, the ruler of everything, who will have the last word, who is coming back, who will prove every word in this Bible correct and true, the one who died on a cross to save you when before you were even ready to be saved. You got to get a picture of how awesome Jesus is. And I've read the story about, or not the story, the accounts, not stories, they're accounts of what really happened. And we can kind of get numb or complacent with, he walked on water, guys. He fed 5,000 guys. He fed another 7,000. He healed everybody. He healed the blind, the lame, the leprous. He fed them. I mean, he does these miracle things. And we read these stories in this Bible, and I just remind us to not get, yeah, another miracle. Another miracle. He did them. Don't let the amazing power of Jesus and who God is ever become bland, complacent, day by day. You know, if you eat venison every day, it kind of gets it's not as special. I still could eat venison every day. Any of you that have venison sticks that want to bring them to my house, feel free. But don't ever let that, no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, known the Lord, don't let his power and his majesty and his ability of who he is and what he can do ever, ever have the shine taken off. Because he's amazing. And thus, and when we are focused on Christ, and in his presence and in his word and at his feet, as Apostle Rod says every morning, he spends time at the feet of Jesus. Those winds, those thoughts, that insurmountable, impossible situation will not look as bad. Now, I'm going to talk to you. I want to give a testimony. 3 years ago, I'm going to do this without crying, maybe. 3 years ago, April 7th, my father passed away. Bam. 33 days later, my father-in-law passed away. Bam. Kay's mom Kay and Kenny's dad. 30 days after that, my aunt died. Bam. We had been hoping and praying for Jeannie, Kenny and Kay's mom, my mother-in-law, who I love dearly, who I think is in heaven looking down, proud of me. We were praying for her to be healed of that terrible, horrible dementia, the terrible disease.
Bam! She dies. March. And in between that time, we were here September, having a men's breakfast. And I remember we helped Rick Stadler put the, he showed up to get the scaffolding because we're in the midst of the construction of this building. And after the breakfast, I set my Bible down, helped Rick, bam, come out, my Bible's gone. My Bible, 20 years I've had it, 18 years I've had it at that point, and it was gone. And it was from Jeannie. She had given that to me 2 weeks before I got married, and some months before she prayed me into the kingdom and I gave my life to Christ. It was gone, and it was gone. Searched high and low. Called Ray, called Steve. Anybody seen it? Scoured the blocks. Drove. Every path I could find was gone. Beat myself up over it. Every time I'd look at somebody else's Bible that was all beat up, like, oh, I used to have mine like that, and I put it somewhere silly and it lost it. So I went and I bought a same version, different color, and I'd read it. Smells new. Doesn't smell old. And every time I'd read it, it would remind me of how stupid I was to have lost it. That's no fun. It's like, ugh, I don't want to read that. And Josh brings it and gives it back to me today. Thanks. And a year later, Ray calls me up at noon and says, Paul, I got something. I'm like, yes. He found my Bible. It was a year later. And I love Ray. He's one of my best friends. And he comes in and he doesn't have my Bible. He's got a camera. And it's a sweet token gift. I love it. Very kind. It wasn't my Bible. And inside I was like, not what I was hoping you had. But thanks anyway. Thanks anyway. But not what I wanted. A year later, I'm at home at lunch. Pastor Steve calls me up. Paul, are you home? Yeah. Stay there. I'm thinking I'm done. No more elder. I don't even know what I did. I didn't root for the Packers. I didn't do something crazy. What could it be? And for the slightest of moments, I thought maybe it came back. Maybe my Bible came back. But I didn't want to be let down, so I kind of just squished that. And he walks in the door, and he's got his coat hanging over his hand. And he pulls it out, and he gives me my Bible back. 2 years, almost to the month. And it was in this case, in the scuff. And he tells me the story about this guy walks in, and he felt really bad that he hadn't returned it quicker. But he had, you know, he works long hours and all this. And Pastor Steve said that when he saw it, he just knew exactly it was mine. And he just, yes, yes, God is good. God is good. Now, he didn't heal Jeannie. And he didn't keep that bottle of water up there. But he gave me something back, and it's like he said, I see you. I see you. You're not alone. Keep looking at me. I know it's tough, Paul. I know your hope is hanging by a thread, but keep looking at me. You ain't got all the answers yet. Keep looking at me. I've had people pray for my eyesight for 20 years, and it ain't healed yet. That's one I'm waiting for. You won't be able to shut me up. Quit my job and just witness all day. I used to be blind, and now I can see. Well, so I believe God's given me spiritual vision. but I'd like the physical vision. I know it's all, and for 3 years, I was a jerk. I was a jerk to my wife because I was tired of being beaten up. And then this Bible comes through the door. And it's just my Bible. It just stinks. It's been glued, taped. I got little kids' handwriting in there. Livia's handwriting is in here. She wrote in here. And then before the message, she comes up and prays for me. This is important. I mean, God knew how important it was. And he said, here. It was impossible. I didn't think 2 years. I was to the point of, I was like, okay, I'd accepted it. It's not coming back. And it came back. Just like Forrest Gump. You're gone one day, Jenny. And then just like that, you showed up. Because it was one day it was gone, and the next, immediately, one day to the next, it was there. And I just want to encourage you, hold on and keep focused on Jesus. Yeah. And you might not get everything the way you want it, but he's there, yeah. And you'll get small things. Maybe it's a Bible. Maybe it's your Bible. Maybe it's something that you hold precious that only he knows, and he'll bring it back to you to show you that he is God. And he is in control. And his arm is not too short to do the impossible. What we think is impossible, that's just like making pancakes to him. Simple to him. It's not in his vocab. Can you put up 2 Corinthians 4? What am I? So we fix our eyes not... Oh, no, back up 16. There you go. Therefore, we do not lose heart. That's the hope. Don't lose hope. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. It far outweighs them all. Whether we get the outcome here or not, I believe that in eternity, I'm going to be rewarded for holding on to hope in Jesus when I didn't get the outcome I wanted. Maybe I don't get my eyesight. Maybe I don't get big stack of money. Maybe I don't get a Super Bowl victory. I'm joking. Maybe you don't get that thing. But if you hold hope, I believe that there is a reward waiting for you in eternity if you are in Christ Jesus. And this world is tough, and it'll knock you down, and it'll keep knocking you down, and it doesn't owe you a thing. But Jesus says, hope in me, trust in me, look at me. When there's no other way. It is achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Next verse. So, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, right, Peter? But on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Keep your eyes focused on the eternal things. Yeah. Don't look at the wind and don't look at the waves. Look at the stuff that's going to last forever. Yeah. The glory that's going to be forever. The reward that's going to be forever. Because not every outcome will be the way we want it. But boy, I swear, Jesus is there. He is right in the midst of it. And I just want to encourage you. Ooh, I shouldn't have cried. Now I really can't see. So I just want to offer up that if, Tony, you can come up just. If there is anybody out there today that is feeling like they're in that boat and there's an impossible situation, I want to invite you up to come up and we'll pray not just that the circumstance go your way or the outcome go your way, but I want to pray
that you would not lose hope in Jesus, that your hope would not be hanging by a thread, that your hope would be built up. So if there's somebody over here too that will be ready to pray for you, and you don't have to come, but I just want to offer that up today, that if there is anyone that needs encouragement, needs prayer, the rest of us can be dismissed, but I'll be up here, and I pray that this was an encouraging word, that we can have hope in the Lord, that we can trust in His goodness, that we can trust in placing our hope in Him. Faith and hope, they're like the two sides of a sword. Faith is God can do it. Hope is He will do it. So, bless your week. Be praying for you that, I just want to pray right now. Lord, we just pray that there would be hope. God, that we would continue to put our hope in You. God, that we would fix our eyes on the Creator, the Alpha and the Omega. That You are the God that does the impossible. God, that can do the impossible. That we'll have the last word over every tough situation in our lives. God, and I just pray right now that if there's anyone out there that is struggling with hope, struggling with faith, God, that they would reach out to get encouragement to someone, to speak to someone, to be built up and trusting in You. God, I pray that this week that we would put a smile on our face, that we would be witnesses in our homes and in our jobs and in our careers and wherever we set our foot, that we are a light, God, that we are the light that brings that hope of Jesus to the world. So I just pray in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody.